You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The UBC Farm is an area about twice the size of Granville Island, including forest and agricultural land. There's been a huge building boom on the campus in recent years, and UBC are now looking to develop part of the farm. Yesterday, Metro Vancouver, previously the GVRD, heard a recommendation from their agriculture committee about the fate of the UBC farm. Andrea Morgan was there and presented a case for keeping the whole farm intact. Andrea Morgan is a fourth-year agriculture student and president of the Friends of the UBC Farm, and she's joined me by phone to bring us up to date on the issue. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Well, what happened yesterday when you made your presentation to Metro Vancouver?
Well, I was joined by many, many people. About 11 delegations presented 5-minute cases to the board, just every reason you could possibly think of, and many people who I've never seen the faces of before came out and decided to support the farm and give their reasons for why it should be preserved and secured. It took about 3 hours of delegations, and then the board went into sort of a debate about several issues surrounding UBC and surrounding what they think should come from their recommendation and how to deal with the recommendations from their agricultural committee. But in the end, it was unanimously voted to send a letter of support to UBC following the recommendation of their agriculture committee, basically just supporting the future of the UBC farm in its current 24-hectare size and location. So it was a huge success. We're very, very happy. And this isn't anything binding, but it's a very big step for us.
Well, let's dive right into it here. Can you describe the farm for us?
Sure. The farm is a beautiful, wonderful place. Anyone who's ever been there and had a chance to volunteer there can give great personal accounts of just how amazing it is to dig your hands in that soil and pull food out and give it to the farmers markets. But the UBC farm is more than that. It offers one-of-a-kind programs which foster food security and the farmers of tomorrow. Not only does it serve UBC for academic use, it has 35 active research projects and involves over 100 faculty, student, and staff from UBC. 14 of the 25 UBC faculties use it. It provides an area for research as well, cutting-edge research on alternate energy sources, food stocks, honeybees and immunology, hedgerow growth, forestry, agroforestry, organic farming. The list goes on there. But it's also an amazing community center. We have children's programs, including the Intergenerational Land and Learning Project, where school children from around Vancouver learn to grow their own organic food in partnership with community elders. We have summer camps. We have classroom tours. On the other end of that, we have First Nations community health initiatives, such as the Urban Aboriginal Community Kitchen Garden Project, which is a joint project with Vancouver Native Health. We have 700 Downtown Eastside Aboriginal residents who come to the farm and learn how to grow, harvest, eat, cook, hold celebrations there together. It's an amazing program.
Well, that's amazing when you just kind of describe that number of uses and the diversity of uses. It's hard not to think how important the farm itself is.
Yeah, I could ramble on for days about the programs. There are so many, and 20,000 people last year used the farm directly.
Wow. Now, if I were to kind of walk out on that piece of land, what would I see?
Well, you would first see the cleared field, so 12 hectare of cleared field. And actually, right when you enter the farm, you see an orchard. You also see in the distance some of the plots that the students use for their market garden, which is held on Saturdays, farmers market. You would see many, many plots that are in production. Not so much now because we're heading into winter, but yeah, in the summer and in the spring and the fall, it's just blooming and beautiful. And then surrounding the cleared fields, you would see another 12 hectare of an 80-year-old hemlock forest. And there are some old-growth trees included in there. There are patches of old-growth trees. You'd see an arboretum if you traveled further, a rhododendron forest, botanical gardens. It's really quite beautiful.
Well, now, what is the campus planning's idea of what they want to carry out in that area now?
Well, campus and community planning suggests that the farm is 4.6 hectares and that their proposal will double its size to 8 hectares. However, as I mentioned before, the farm currently operates on 12 hectares of cleared land and 12 hectares of forest. They've been holding public consultation sessions, all of which propose three proposals to the public. One completely obliterates the farm and puts several high-rises on the cleared field and in the forest area. The other two significantly reduce the size to 8 hectares and relocate where the cultivated fields would be. And coincidentally enough, the relocation would place the farm in uncultivatable soil, an area that was previously a dump site and is also home to a rhododendron forest, which, to all of you plant lovers out there, rhododendrons are toxic to other plants. So it would take many, many years to build the soils up to the place they need to be in order to grow food.
How did the campus planning, campus and community planning get to this, these proposals? What's the rationale? Have they been doing consultation? Where's that coming from?
Well, it apparently is coming from several places. One is consultation, although in all the consultations I've been in for the past year, nothing that I've ever heard would lead to these three options that they're currently presenting. They are largely leaning on something called the Lees Report, which is a report that is being used to justify an 8-hectare farm configuration. It was a report done by a landscape architecture firm, I believe. There were no soil scientists, agrologists, ecologists involved whatsoever. It includes very, very little technical study, very little primary scientific research. It only consulted with a small handful of people from only 4 of the 14 faculties, schools, and colleges that use the site. And yeah, like I said, in addition to its lack of stakeholder consultation, the report lacks any research into soil quality and the forest buffer function, and it really doesn't consider any of the community uses of the farm. So that's largely what they're basing their recommendation on.
What's the bigger context or problem here in terms of how we value agricultural land that's near the city?
Well, 2008 was recently given the name the Year of the Global Food Crisis. I think that speaks pretty loudly. We're living in a world of a changing climate, changing energy supplies, changing economy. And in this, it becomes absolutely vital that our society is assured a stable food supply. We need to understand where our food comes from and how to support and sustain the land and the farmers that produce it. We need leaders who knows what it takes to produce healthy food. We need urbanites who understand where their food comes from and can visibly see that. And we need farmers who can rise to the challenge of sustaining productive farmland. The UBC farm provides an example of all of this. It's not going to be able to feed Vancouver. It's not going to be able to feed UBC. But it can provide a model of what a localized, sustainable food system looks like, and it already does. I think UBC getting rid of this farm or significantly reducing it and disabling many of its potentials would—I mean, it seems so obvious. It seems so obvious that this world needs a leader and needs someone who and needs an area that can demonstrate how to provide food and healthy communities, healthy local economies, in a time of a changing world.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
It seems like that it's not so much the 12 hectares or the 24 hectares, but it's really that kind of integral idea, this sort of disconnect that we're coming to have between the food that sustains us and our own knowledge of that in urban environments.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
How can people help support your efforts to save the UBC farm?
Well, it's not too late to sign our petition. I believe we are almost reaching 20,000 signatures, and that petition can be found online. There's a link on the Friends of the Farm website, which will also direct you to our blog for news updates, and that is www.friendsoftheubcfarm.org. You can attend Friends of the Farm meetings. They are open on Thursdays in the Student Union Building at UBC at 6 o'clock, room 206. And there will be a lot of information on our website about how you can write letters to the University Board of Governors, who are major decision makers in this process. You can write letters to the president of UBC, to all of the VPs. Things like that will really, really help us in the coming months, to try and gain support from decision makers and ultimately, hopefully, get another unanimous vote, since that seems to be a trend for us.
That's
up to
great.
This point.
Well,
yeah.
I thanks so much for joining me this morning, and good luck then.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
I've been speaking with Andrea Morgan. Andrea Morgan is the president of the Friends of UBC Farm. And for more information, you can check their website. It's at friendsofubcfarm.org.